Amen. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. It's great to be here with you. Welcome to Seven Oaks Alliance Church this morning. It's a funny thing we do when we say welcome to Seven Oaks Alliance Church, given what Tim already mentioned about. Actually, we're the church. We don't attend church, really. We're actually the church, and we've been the church. We've been the scattered people, and now we get to gather, which is wonderful, and it's a privilege to gather with you and to offer worship to God. Last Sunday, we began a three-week series on mission or missions. And the way we've split it up, as we talked about last week, is between across the ocean, as you see on this banner here, across the nation behind me, and across the street. And so last Sunday, we had Gaylene here, one of our Seamless Link partners, who Gaylene responded to the call of Jesus on her life to leave her home, to leave her home nation, and go to another nation. And to live there and to learn the language and to be present and to minister and to be a missionary and to be a minister of the gospel. When we look back in, particularly in the 19th and 20th century, in the big missionary movements, it was very much a situation where we had Christian, what we call Christian nations, that is nations that that had turned to God and been formed by him and so on, sending missionaries over to, you know, those non-Christian nations, right? And so we considered countries like America and Canada and Great Britain and so on and different parts of Europe as these Christian nations that send missionaries to non-Christian nations to take the message of Jesus. And we support that and are behind that and continue to do that, send people. But things have changed and things have shifted. I don't know how easy it is for us to call Canada a Christian nation anymore. Do you think? I don't know. There's certainly a big Christian presence here. There's lots of churches here and people who love Jesus. But I think you could argue pretty persuasively that when you look at government and you look at society and culture and where we're going, we seem to be moving ever further away from historic Christianity. And in fact, we're becoming increasingly marginalized. And so there's an increasing and growing sense that we need to re-evangelize our own nations. That it isn't the same as it used to be. Canada needs Jesus. Desperately. And so today we're talking about across the nation. And I'm going to invite Amanda Poyle up. She's going to come up onto the stage. And many of you will know Amanda, and many of you will not know Amanda and her husband Will and their three kids. And Will and the kids are still in Ontario. And we asked Amanda if she'd come back for today. And I'm not going to say too much here. I'm going to let Amanda introduce herself and tell you the story. But basically, Will, Amanda, the family, sense the call of Jesus and have sensed a call to missions for years, really, and have a bit of a missions background. And this last spring, early summer, they decided to go. But instead of going across the ocean, they've gone across the nation. And so we're really excited to hear your story this morning. But I'd like to pray for you before you bring a message to us. Father, we thank you so much for Amanda, and we pray your blessing on her today. We thank you for the gift she is to our church family. We love her, and we love Will, and we love the kids. They're part of us, and we love them dearly. We pray for Will and the kids today that your blessing would rest on them, whatever they're doing today, that you would be close to them and blessing them. And I pray for Amanda now as she brings a message, as she tells the story of the Poyle family, as she shares her heart, that your anointing would rest upon her and that you would give us ears to hear what the Spirit would be saying to us, to our church, through your servant, Amanda. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Okay. Well, it's not too often I've been behind this side of the mic, but thank you so much. It's a privilege to stand here, and it's a privilege to share a little bit about what's been happening in our life. And so Will and the kids say hello to you, and I first want to say thank you to you as a church family for praying and supporting us this summer. We could not have done what we felt called to do, that God was leading us into doing, stepping out in faith, without your help and without your partnership and your prayers. We had people praying for us all along, and even in August, I got some phone calls from some prayer people here and some intercessors. Where are you? Are you coming home? What's happening? And so, yeah, thank you so much. Many of you know, Will and I and the kids have attended Seven Oaks here for about 5 years, so you may know us. But you may not know that we met in Thailand. That's where we attended Bible school and where we did missions for about 3 years there. Prior to that, Will and I had both done YWAM DTSs on our own at different places and other missions trips. So we have a bit of missions in our background. Going back even further, when I was a young girl, actually my family and I lived in Ontario for 5 years, and I remember going to the big Pentecostal church that we went to there and being drawn by the missionary guest speakers that would come. Particularly, there was an African children's choir, and I looked there and I thought, whoa, where are these kids from? Wherever it is, I want to go there. There was another guest speaker who was a musician, and he had all these songs. His name was Bob Kilpatrick. And he had all these songs about going to the nations and being sent ones for Jesus. And I thought, wherever all these names of places in Argentina and Bermuda and down in Costa Rica, whatever, he was singing about them. And I thought, those sound like really awesome places and I want to go there. So I remember that those seeds were planted in me from a young age. For Will, he became a Christian later in life at about 18 years old at a youth drop-in center after playing basketball one night. And then he thought, this is what I need, and I'm going to share it with others in similar situations. So for us, missions and sharing the love of Christ was very real to us when we got married, and it was a priority for us. And we felt even after we were married that we might one day live in another country and reach out to another culture at some point. As the years went on, we settled into life in Abbotsford, and I finished some schooling, and so did Will, and we started having some kids, and we started a renovations business, and things were ticking along quite nicely and neatly. But underneath it all, there was this longing that there must be more. And we had this restlessness. I would call it maybe a godly discontent for more. And it started to grow in us. Particularly last fall, a year ago right now, we really felt a stirring. And we felt like God was saying, get ready to go. We didn't know where we were going to go. But we knew he was getting ready to show us something. We had kind of always thought about missions overseas, over across the ocean, like you often do think of what Jamie was kind of mentioning. And I love the hot, tropical, beautiful places, and that's wonderful. But as we pressed in to God, and we prayed and we worshiped in the evenings, we even went so far as cutting our Netflix account, just because we thought, well, we want to see some changes in our life. We better make some changes now in our daily habits to see where God would lead us. As we did, over and over, the message we kept hearing from sermons of Jamie to on our own time was go and bring God's kingdom here on earth. So Will and I did a study on James, and some of the words of James, the book of James, say, don't just listen to God's word, you must do what it says. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. So that's talking about orphans, and often we think about physically orphaned children, but it also means children who have absent or neglectful parents, and it also means spiritually orphaned, who we all are until we meet God and have a relationship and experience with him as our Father. James carries on to say that faith by itself isn't enough unless it produces good deeds. It is dead and useless. And it carries on to say, you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. So we know that we cannot be saved by any works that we do. Salvation is a free gift from God, to anyone who believes that Jesus Christ is his son and that he died on the cross, and we can have that free gift. That's just there for you. But if that good news has taken root in your life and you have a living relationship with the creator of this world, that should compel and ought to compel you into action. I also want to look at Mark 4, where we're told of the parable of the sower. Some seed is planted on the path, some on rocky ground, some on thorns, and some on good soil. In verses 14 to 20, the parable is explained. It says, "The sower sows the word. These are the ones on the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And the ones that are sown on rocky ground, when they hear the word, they immediately receive it with joy, but they have no root and endure only for a while. Then, when trouble or persecution arise, immediately they fall away. And others are sown among thorns. These are the ones who hear the word, but the cares of the world, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, and it yields nothing. And these are the ones sown on the good soil. They hear the word and accept it and bear fruit." So these scriptures really convicted us as a family. We thought, wow, what are we doing that shows our faith? And we realized that the cares of this world, the desires for riches, and other things, it's like if it wasn't enough to say the cares of the world and desires for riches, he adds in, oh, and other things that could possibly be a distraction for you. We felt like they were pulling us away from having a fruitful life of action for the kingdom of God. We had to ask ourselves, is our life lining up with what we say? Our priorities, our time, our energy, our money, is it going to where we claim our allegiance? We were convicted and we saw areas that we needed to change. We thought, we only have one life to live. Let us have an eternal impact on this life. As a desire and a hunger for God's word grew, so did a burden to reach out to the lost, the spiritually orphaned ones through Canada. So this burden came straight from God because, like I said, we were never really had Canada on our radar, but God just hit us. We started getting pictures and God-inspired ideas, and that's what set us on a journey to purge and sell much of our stuff. And a few months later, we found ourselves living and traveling through Canada in a motorhome. Yes, so there's a picture of the motorhome. We were reaching out to youth in Canada, and we use basketball. Will is a basketball player, mostly by just interest. And so we use that as a tool to connect with youth and to get into First Nations communities. We put on three-day basketball camps where each day the gospel message was shared, Bibles were handed out, and Will or I, along with the missionaries or pastors we were working with, would share our testimonies. The days were filled with fun and games, laughs, and deeper talk times. Almost each time we finished a three-day camp, the youth would ask Will if it could go longer or if we were coming back next year. In one place, so we've been in lots of different kind of gyms. That top right picture is a gym from the 1800s that was built for a women's boarding school. So that was very neat. That was in Quebec. In the far left corner here, a group of younger kids just start coloring and doing crafts in the gym floor. Maybe they don't always want to play sports, or maybe some of the older kids are playing sport. And so this is what would happen always. It would just spontaneously break out. The young kids would gather as well. And then many, many circles like this, each time we would have a meal that was prepared for by the person we were working with. Sometimes I would help as well, but we would sit in a circle and we would eat the meal or snack and then we would share. So in one place, a boy drew this Popeye picture, and on the back of it, he wrote, "God gave you the gift of basketball and us." Wow, we were so touched that this boy would take time to draw this picture for Will, and we knew that God was moving in his heart. He felt loved and he felt noticed. There is a generation of fatherless kids who need to feel the love of the Father in pure, healthy relationships. They are crying out for someone to notice them. and to invest in them and to point them to hope and truth. Amen. I think the next slide has the Popeye picture. Okay, good, no problem. It's a Popeye picture that he drew, like Popeye and spinach. Okay, there we go. Anyway, so Will has it taped in his day timer. So we were also able to help encourage Christian youth who in each place would work with us. We connected with churches or with missionaries, and then we said, would you have any helpers that could help put it on with us? And so in one reserve, we stayed at a Bible camp in Saskatchewan. So we stayed at the Bible camp, and then we would just drive 2 minutes to the reserve. And there at this Bible camp, we met a Christian family whose daughter loved basketball. So she became our assistant coach, and she was able to share the gospel for the first time with the youth that we were working with on the reserve. So it was awesome to see her walking out the kingdom of God just because we were willing to pull her into God's vision and to just say, go ahead and do it. Like, try it out, 15-year-old. Or another young girl in Ontario, she was so enthusiastic to help us with the basketball camp, and she printed out flyers, and her and Will went going door to door to places to say, come and do this, and she was also able to lead some devotions and share her testimony, which was the first time for her to share. So we met over 200 youth this summer, and many of them heard the good news for the first time. In every place we went, we connected them with local missionaries or a pastor or a church that they could go to. Many shared with us that they don't know what they're doing with their life. They don't know where they'll go after high school or if they will even finish high school. Some of the youth that attended weren't even youth. They were already 19 or 20 or 21. They were on the reserves, and they're not doing anything. They don't know what to do. They don't have a job. They've either not finished school or they finished high school, and nobody's helping them to show what their future could be. Those were the two girls that helped us put on some camps, Saskatchewan and Ontario. There is huge needs all through Canada. There is many dark places that we saw with our own eyes, and the kingdom of God needs to come to transform these communities and disciple the young people. So God is asking, who will go? Who is going to go for me? When we left Abbotsford in May, we felt that God would highlight where our next step beyond the summer would be. And that brings us to where we are now. We felt that indeed he did highlight a place for us to join up with, and that is with YWAM Muskoka in Bracebridge, Ontario. That is 2 hours north of Toronto. It's in a beautiful cottage country area, lots of lake, fresh lake access, lots of hiking, beautiful areas. Where we are is a small town. It's about 12,000 people. The biggest store is one Walmart, so pretty much you have everything you need if you have a Walmart, so that's okay. And then if you need anything else, then you have to drive, probably about an hour away. This YWAM base has a huge heart for First Nations people. They have First Nations on staff, and they would like to see First Nations come to every DTS that they have. The base itself is still fairly young and in a pioneering stage, but it's exploding with vision, and there are great needs and opportunities. So they're in their fifth year now. We helped the base for 1 week in August, and when we left, we felt like there was something special. Our hearts were tugged and pulled, but we had another camp in Quebec that we needed to go to. And so when we left, we prayed, God, where do you have us? Where will you have us go? As we prayed in Quebec and we said, okay, we're done our scheduled camps, we're at the end of August, where is it that you want us to go? There was so much need through Canada, and there's so many awesome people working and great churches and great ministries, and we felt like in every province there was opportunity for us and for you. If you want to go, there's opportunity. But we really wanted to know, where does God want us and with who? And he felt, and we felt, like he said, go back to Ontario, to YWAM Muskoka, and that he was going to be doing some big things there, and we wanted to join with that. So our current focus is staffing the DTS school right now. It's discipleship training school. It's a 5-month school. It's a 3-month lecture phase there on the base, and then a 2-month outreach phase, a missions trip. We are also focusing on local youth and First Nations youth. There are many reserves nearby. So a day right now for us looks like we have staff meeting at 8 in the morning. We have worship with the students and staff at 8:30 for 1 hour. And then the students have teaching, which we join in on, for 3 hours. So every week is a different topic that they get taught on by speakers that come from around the world to speak. So the first week was on the nature and character of God. The second week was on the Holy Spirit and recognizing God's voice. Another week that they just finished was on identity and making Jesus Lord of your life. It's one thing to say that I'm a Christian and I'm saved and he's my Savior, but it's another thing to say he's Lord over every area of my life. These students have come from around the globe to pursue God and to break chains and habits in their life so that they can be free to run with Jesus and all that he has for their future. DTS is like a greenhouse time of intense fertilization. And we are there to walk alongside the students, to champion them on their journeys with God, and to create spaces and time for them to hear from God and spend time in his presence and cultivate healthy relationships with one another in community. Many of the students have told Will and I that you're like a father to me, or you're my spiritual mom. One young man calls me Mama Poyle. Like, wow. And we're not even that far age above them. But these people are ranging from ages 18 to 30, and they're crying out for mentorship and discipleship and to be loved on. They are getting free from addictions and insecurities and pain from their past. Some have shared stories of abuse with us or rejection from their parents or friends, and we are able to see God transform them in front of our eyes, literally. As they let him in, he transforms them. There is even a couple people that physically look different from when they arrived as they shed their old self. We are preparing also to launch a sports and outdoor focused DTS in April. The leaders of the base feel it's a growth year and it's time for expansion, and they want to move from beyond the one DTS in September to 2 per year. So they have asked us if we would help to lead this April school, which will run from April to August. And that school will have a 1-month outreach on a Canadian First Nations reserve. So that would be in July. And then it will have a 1-month outreach overseas in Europe for sports evangelism. So that's our first focus, is with the DTS. The second focus is with local youth and First Nations reserves. There's reserves in the area, and we have been meeting with leaders and workers that are already connected there, and we're going to start by offering some basketball after-school programs. This Tuesday, in 2 days, is our first after-school program, basketball, on one reserve nearby us. Please pray for Will as he enters this dark reserve that has a high abuse, drug, and alcohol rate. We are starting with the open doors of the reserves with connecting with youth, because that's where our open doors are. But First Nations ministry is really whole family community ministry. As you get to know the youth and the kids, you will also be impacting the men and women of the community. In the past, kids were taken from their homes and pulled apart from the family unit with the residential schools. So it's important now that we go in to love and disciple the whole family. That picture, so the DTS that runs now has an outdoor component to it as well. They go on canoe trips, which is what they're packing up to do on that one picture. So Will's joined them on those trips. some weekend trips or day trips that are just overnight ones. The middle picture and the next picture is a cross of candles, and that was just this past week when they did their identity week. And they were able to bring in, we were all, students and staff, able to bring in something that we wanted to lay down at the cross and just leave at the cross. And so it was a very powerful and impactful time. It's not coming up very clear, but in the far right picture is the cross. And then on that wall, we're all lined up there, and the staff are washing the students' feet just as a way to serve them and love them. So that was... yeah, that was this week. I have two short clips from First Nation Girls that I want to play, and then I will conclude. One is named Amanda. She is on staff and has a deep heart for her people to experience healing and freedom in Christ. She took and led a DTS team up north to Attawapiskat, an isolated reserve in Ontario, and there is where she met Savannah, who later came to do her DTS and is now doing a second school at the base. So you can play it whenever you're ready. Can you tell me where you're from, what your name is?
My name is Savannah Kishtajan, and I'm from Attawapiskat First Nation. It's in the James Bay area, and it's an isolated reserve. You only fly in. Well, there's like a winter road in the winter time. Mm-hmm. And like you can get in a lot cheaper than the flights.
What are some of the struggles that youth have in your reserve?
There's a lot of struggles. Some struggle with their identity. Mm-hmm. Not only that, but like rejection issues. And like because most of the kids that I know grew up feeling neglected, and like, yeah, some struggle with depression and like self-worth. Mm-hmm. And like wondering like if I belong here, or like why am I in this earth if I'm just a waste of space.
Mm-hmm. What do you think are some of the answers to those questions, and what has helped you?
Well, for me, just getting away from that reserve and coming to do my DTS has really helped me a lot in like my self-identity. Mm-hmm. Like just finding out who like I really am in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was hard for me first to trust people, but now I see like these people actually care for me and they want to see me come to my full freedom, and like that's when I began to trust them and like whatever, like they were for me and not against me.
Mm, awesome. So how can we be praying for your friends back home and other First Nations youth?
You can be praying for them, for them to know who they really are. Mm. Like and not just be like in the island of isolation. Yeah, and like the spirit of death is like really on First Nations. Mm-hmm. And so like you can just be praying about that also.
Like suicide.
Yeah, like suicide and all that, depression.
Yeah. Okay, thank you so much, Savannah. Okay, can you tell me what your name is and where you're from?
Hi, my name is Amanda Isaacs. I'm Mohawk, and I'm from Six Nations and of the Turtle Clan.
Okay, and can you tell me what you're doing now?
Right now, I'm staffing with YY Muskoka, and I have been for 5 years.
Nice. And what is your heart for what you're doing and for your reserve, your people?
My heart is to have Jesus in all things, with not just through YWAM, but with my people and our culture. Mm-hmm. So that they have the heart for what, and the understanding of what God is trying to do. Because God's already came to the Native people before, the First Nations of Canada. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't very, wasn't done in love. Mm-hmm. And so I have the heart to help them process through the hurt and the pain mm-hmm. in dealing with that, but also to show them God's real love and what real love is mm-hmm. and how it looks to me and how it looks, and to represent it to them mm-hmm. in a way.
Awesome. So what do you think is it going to take to transform First Nation reserves and people?
It'll take a lot of love and a lot of caring. Their heart is to know that people do care about them, mm-hmm. particularly the reserves in the north or in isolated communities. They really need to feel that God's mm-hmm. love for them.
Yeah.
They really need to feel that people love them. Mm-hmm. With people not being able, with it being so isolated, a lot of people have a struggle with staying there. Mm-hmm. People who come in to help. And so they're used to seeing a revolving door of people coming and going. Mm-hmm. So to have people to have that heart to really want to stay mm-hmm. and to have that heart for the First Nations people to have the understanding of what they're struggling in and to really minister into that.
Mm. Can you give me some ideas of what they are really struggling in?
Yeah, they're struggling in with, there's a lot of drugs and alcohol in the youth. It's not just the youth though, but it's really well known in the youth. A lot of the elders are struggling with what's happened in the residential schools. Mm. It's just like to knowing that Jesus really loves them in that way. Alcohol is another big key mm. that is being played. Suicide.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of suicide. And for my heart personally, it's the 800 plus missing women,
mm.
Aboriginal Indigenous women in Canada that I've been really had a heart for that God's mm. been showing me to be praying into.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much, Amanda.
Thank you.
Okay, so we are going to be working with these two girls and others, and it is our heart to see you set free and walking in the in kingdom living. You may have heard about Attawapiskat, the Northern Reserve in Ontario. A while back, it was on the news because it had a run on suicides there in its small community, and when that was happening, the DTS team had already been to the reserve, and they returned back, and so when they heard that there was some problems going, Amanda called up to Savannah and said, "How are you doing?" She says, "I'm not doing very well." They said, "Would you like to come to your DTS?" And she said, "Yes," and she's been absolutely transformed. She's a champion, and she's going to make a difference for her youth and her people. So in conclusion, I want to remind you of Nehemiah. In chapter 1, it says that Nehemiah heard of the Jews in need and of their great trouble and shame, that the wall was destroyed and burned, and he sat and wept and mourned for days, fasting and praying. So first, he exalted God. Second, he cleansed his heart, prayed. And third, he was compelled to action. He heard of a need, and he was moved to do something. Nehemiah says, "The God of heaven is the one who will give us success, and we, his servants, are going to start building." Nehemiah was not distracted by the cares of this world, or wealth, or other things. He was ready to rebuild and have a fruitful life. There are enough cares and distractions of this world to fill your mind and overwhelm you for a lifetime. But if you allow it, it will immobilize you from your purpose and from your God-given destiny and action for the kingdom of God. Let's join together to see God's kingdom come across the ocean, across this nation, and across the street. Thank you.